I am in between series right now. Next Sunday night will be the Lord's Supper. And the following Sunday, I'll be preaching in Mississippi. So, I didn't want to start anything that I couldn't finish in the next couple weeks. So, tonight, we're just going to dip into Psalm 119. Psalm 119, we're up to verse 79, if you're counting. I know John Bills kind of keeps track of this stuff, and it makes me nervous. Because, you know, you might preach a sermon that he's already heard, and he comes out and really lets you have it. Well, I don't have it. Preacher, I've got it marked in my Bible here that you preached that on January 5th, 1929. And here you are, it's 2024, preaching that again. Sorry, John. All right, verse 79. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Now, the verse before, he had prayed, he said, let the proud be ashamed, for they dealt perversely with me without a cause, but I will meditate in thy precepts. Now he's calling upon God to have the people of God who fear him, who know him, who believe his testimonies, to turn unto him, to be in fellowship with him. David's earnest desire was to have companions who feared God and who knew his word. These are two characteristics of somebody who is truly saved. They have a genuine reverence for Almighty God. They fear him. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge and wisdom. And they also know his testimonies. They know his word. And those are the kind of people that you ought to rejoice in being companions with, being in fellowship with. What a comfort it is to be banded together in sweet fellowship with those of like precious faith. Don't ever underestimate how important your place is in the Lord's church. This is a body. It's made up of many different components. Everyone placed there precisely by the Lord. He adds to the body as it pleases him. We have a variety of personalities here, backgrounds, and so on. But isn't it a blessing how that God, through His Spirit, we've all been saved by the same gospel. We've all come to know Jesus and the power of His blood, of His death on the cross for our sins, His burial, and then His resurrection life that is in all of us. We share the fellowship of the gospel. And we all have the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who dwells within each believer. The Spirit of God is the one that had guided you, directed you according to the Word of God and the will of God, and brought you into fellowship with this body. What an honor. What a blessing to be with God's people. I cherish it. I've been a member of three churches. Wilmington Baptist, Providence Baptist. Well, actually, I was a member of Bryan Station Baptist when we were a mission at Wilmington. And then Wilmington Baptist, Providence Baptist Church, that I, it was a mission that was organized, and I was there as pastor for almost 8 years. And now Mount Pleasant. This is where I've spent the bulk of my entire adult Christian life. And I count it a blessing. I thank God every day that He added me to this body. as a member and as a pastor. And I want God to turn others who know His name, who believe in Him, who honor Him, who want to follow Him. I want God to turn them our way and bring them into fellowship here. And that we all might enjoy this and encourage one another and be a blessing to one another. David understood how important it was to be bound in sweet fellowship with those who love the Lord of like precious faith. And it makes me realize when I see this is, he was the king of Israel. Everything, he could have, everything was at his disposal. But what mattered most to him? Fellowship with God's people and fellowship with God. That's what drove David's life. And thank God that we don't have to stand alone against the onslaughts of the devil and the world. I want you to know tonight that as a member of Mount Pleasant Missionary Baptist Church, we've got people here that fear God, that keep His commandments, that love Him, and that love you. And when you're going through it, we all want to be in prayer for you. We want to encourage you. We want to be a blessing to you. That ought to be our attitude. And you know, it's the thing that sets apart genuine Christians. You know, we have many brothers and sisters who serve to encourage us in the good fight of the faith, in the faith. We've got to remember that the devil is our enemy. The world is our enemy. Sin is our enemy. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, they're not our enemies. You know, I thought about this today and how much this theme of fellowship, this desire to be with companions who fear the Lord, who know Him. I'm going to tell you something. You get in with the wrong group of people and it will ruin your life. It's so important that you value the fellowship of God's elect. People who have been washed in the blood. People who are indwelt by the Spirit. Who are guided by the authority of the Word of God. Those are the kind of people that will influence your life for good. Iron will sharpen iron. When you are around people that love the Lord, it will influence your life for good. You get out of fellowship with God's people, you get out of fellowship with God, and you'll begin to see your spiritual life decline. It's a fact. It's a reality. And David knew something about this because there were times when he was out of fellowship with God. When he was out of fellowship with his companions. They knew about his sin with Bathsheba. They knew what he had done regarding Uriah the Hittite. And it's as if he's saying, Lord, I know I've been an offender. I know that I've been chastened. But God, I pray that those who love Thee, who fear Thee, who honor Thee, turn them unto Me. Enable me to be in fellowship with them. You know, it's a theme that goes all the way through the New Testament. But David prayed this in Psalm chapter, let's see here, 133. Or he made this statement, this proclamation. Psalm 133, verse 1, Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It's like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, and went down to the skirts of his garments as the dew of Hermon. It's a refreshing, this unity of brothers and sisters in Christ. It's refreshing, empowering. as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion. For there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore. This is why I believe it's so important to be in fellowship with the Lord's church. You got to be planted in the right place, among the right people. You know, David said in Psalm chapter 1, and you ought to memorize these verses. They'll help you. Josh has been going through struggles at work this week. And I try to encourage him. Memorize Scripture. And especially Scriptures that may deal specifically with what it is that you're struggling with. Whatever emotion it is, whatever trial it is. There are everything you're going through, you can look it up in a concordance. You can look it up in the Word of God. Write it on a 3x5 card. Begin to memorize it. Put it in your heart. And when those times come, it's like ammunition. It's like you've got that stored in your heart and in your mind. And when the trials come, you're able to fire off and meditate and think deeply upon the Word of God that you hid in your heart. Psalm 1, blessed is the man who walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. This man is separated from the world unto God and His people. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in His law he doth meditate day and night. He thinks deeply upon the Word. You know what? You know what will help you to think more deeply upon the Word? Come hear it preached on a regular basis. Be challenged by coming into... There's something special about coming into the house of God. Being with God's people. Singing, praying, and then having the preacher just get up, read the Bible, and preach to you. Challenge you. Encourage you. Empower you. Inform you. It's vital. But notice what he says in verse 3. This man who's separated from the ungodly, who's saturated with the Word of God, he is carefully situated where he's going to bring forth fruit. It says, and he shall be like a tree, planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Wow, man. People are writing how-to books. How to prosper. I've got 100 steps on how you can be a billionaire. Well, I got 3 steps for you. Psalm 1, 1, 2, and 3. Those are great steps. Follow them. And you'll prosper in this life. I believe there's something powerful about being situated in a place where God's people love one another. Where they encourage one another. Jesus believed the same. Jesus is the head of our church. We answer to Him. He is our authority. And here's what He said over in John chapter 13. Now John 13 is a unique portion of Scripture. From John 13 through 17, this is only the members of that first church. That early church. He had brought them aside. They were together. And He's telling them things that you don't find in the other synoptic Gospels. And look what it says here in verse 34 of John chapter 13. You know it. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. That's what He's telling those disciples, the members of that first church that He had organized. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this love for one another, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one for another. That's why it's a horrific thing when churches get, when members go sideways and they begin to fuss and fight and argue. There is nothing more dishonoring to God in the church body when you have this clique and that clique and this group pitted against. Thank God we don't have that. For one thing, I won't put up with it. I don't believe that we ought to be against each other. We ought to be for each other. Look what he said in chapter 15. Here's one of the reasons why you must value this fellowship with God's people. He says in verse 16, "Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you." Boy, that's a rough verse for Arminians, isn't it? Yeah. It wasn't your free will that chose me. Let's get this straight right now. I chose you. I loved you with an everlasting love. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. When Jesus issues a command, it's to be obeyed without reservation. It's to be obeyed cheerfully, obediently. He said, "I've given you this command that you love one another." And he gives you an insight of why the brotherly love that we share as God's people, especially in a congregation, why it's so vital. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. It's so important that we understand what we mean to each other. This John, of course, he's the apostle of love. He talks about it a lot under the inspiration of the Spirit. If you would look over at 1 John chapter 2, again, this theme of fellowship among God-fearing people. It's so important. It's so vital. It will enhance and enable you to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord. Isn't it a blessing to have people encouraging you to grow? Challenging you? Well, look at 1 John. Now this gets... You know, if you love somebody, You like talking to them, don't you? I'll tell you, you ought to get together with Josh and my wife. They got a special bond. They love talking to each other. And it's enjoyable just to listen to them fellowship. It's a blessing. It's an encouragement. And we have people like that that help us in our service to the Lord. Now, Tammy likes talking to me. I like talking to her, but she talks more to me. But what happens is, as a pastor, isn't this right, Brother Malo? You got to learn how to listen to people. It's important. And Tammy has really helped me with that discipline. She's helped me learn how to listen better. Here's the problem. If she's talking into this ear,
right here, it doesn't go in this ear and out the other. It just doesn't go in. I don't hear good out of this ear. And she'll be talking away, and then I'll say something like, "Well, are we going to go?" And she'll say, "I've already told you we're not going," or something like that. I just said that. Oh, were you talking into this ear? 1 John chapter 2, look at verse 7. "Brethren, I write no new commandment unto you, but an old commandment, which you had from the beginning. The old commandment is the word which ye have heard from the beginning. A new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you, because the darkness is past and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even until now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him." By the way, you look at 1 John, how much emphasis is placed on believers walking in the light as he is in the light, so that we have fellowship one with another. Part of walking in the light and the holiness of God is to have love for the brethren. And not hatred. And not animus. Not jealousy or envy, but love. Verse 11, "But he that hateth his brother is in darkness, and walketh in darkness, and knoweth not whither he goeth, because darkness hath blinded his eyes." See, hatred should have no place in the Lord's church and among God's people. Chapter 3 and verse 10, he gives you another take on this. He says in verse 10, "In this the children of God are manifest." This is how you can discern who are the children of God and the children of the devil. "Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." There's two keys right there to tell you who are the children of God. They want to practice righteousness because they're following the one who made them righteous by his sacrifice and who is called the righteous one. And also, they want to obey that command that he gave to love one another. That's how you know that you're not a child of the devil. When I wasn't saved, I didn't like being around God's people. But now I love it. It's a joy. Psalm 127:1, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." What I say to people who are struggling, start praying for God to give you that desire. To be in His Word. To be in prayer. To love God's people. To be in fellowship. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see that day approaching. You see how all this blends together? What David said, it extends. It's not just an Old Testament saying that we find in Psalm 119. It's something that permeates all of the New Testament and has a prominent role in our Christian lives. We demonstrate love for one another when we're in fellowship with one another. 1 John 3, verse 11, "For this is the message that you heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous." I'll tell you, you're barking up the wrong tree with people who are always being hateful to Christians. And they're found in churches. They're mean-spirited. They're critical. Listen, as God's people, we're to have a different attitude. He said, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. But I tell you what, if God's own people, if you don't love them, something's seriously wrong with you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer. And ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. Boy, that's a strong love, isn't it? You know, if the Lord's laid down his life for you, you ought to love him. You all want to keep this commandment. One more passage. Philippians chapter 2. Let those that fear thee turn unto me, and those that have known thy testimonies. Lord, let these people be my companions. Let me cherish their fellowship and their friendship all my days. Philippians chapter 2. Now evidently, they had a little bit of trouble. And the church of Philippi was a model church. But even they had some troubles. And he counsels them here in verse 1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. By the way, that's one of the reasons why we practice Baptist baptism. Because if you have people coming into a church that maintain the beliefs that they once had, like people of the Church of Christ, they wouldn't fit in our church. I mean, they'd never be able to take somebody preaching against baptismal regeneration all the time, which is what I do. It's a damnable doctrine. It's a heresy. It's wrong. Pentecostals, if they maintained what they once believed and came into our body, they wouldn't be able to take it. Because we don't believe that you can lose your salvation. We don't believe that free will gets you in or gets you out. We believe in the will of God. That's one reason why we're of one mind. We're all been baptized with the same baptism. And it's like putting on a uniform. We're all one. Be of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. Nobody ought to be trying to say, hey, did you see what I did? Hey, preacher. Hey, Josh, you see what I did? See how good I am? Hey, give me a little pat. No, we don't do what we do because we want to seek the praise of men or the glory of men. We do what we do because we love the Lord. We love each other. We want to honor God. But in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. And then he goes on to a deep doctrinal teaching, the hypostatic union of Christ, humanity and deity, and his sufferings. And he said, let the mind of Christ be in you. And that's how we've got to live as God's people. We've got to love the Lord and love the people that the Lord loves. And I believe with all my heart that no matter what's going on in somebody's life and in a church, if you follow these verses, you can work anything out if you do things with a lowliness of mind. Let me say this. I love you. I love each and every one of you. It is my joy to be in the same body with you, to be the pastor of this New Testament Baptist Church. It's my privilege to serve the Lord with you. And I pray that all of us will do it together faithfully until Jesus comes again. Let's all stand.